We know that someone's last words can be very significant. And in a way, this letter that we've been looking at, the second letter of Paul to Timothy, gives us an insight into the Apostle Paul's last words to his son in the faith, Timothy. And by the time the Apostle Paul gets to the middle of chapter 3, we're coming towards the last of his last words. And so Paul now, as he's writing these final words to his son in the faith, Timothy, says something that is striking to him, because he writes in verse 10 that Timothy has carefully followed Paul's doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance. And then I'm going to put two of the qualities that he mentions here together, persecutions and afflictions. And out of them all, the Lord has delivered him, he says. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Now, Paul is not just writing as a brilliant, faithful, experienced Christian. He's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So these are Paul's words to Timothy, yes, but they're also God's words to Timothy. And of course, they're not only God's words to Timothy, they are God's words to you and me as well. So we must hear them carefully. Because although Paul writes first to Timothy, who is a Christian leader and a preacher, Paul's words are also appropriate to every Christian, to every disciple, to every follower of Jesus Christ. Because Paul is calling Timothy here to be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Yes, Timothy must expect opposition from the world. Yes, Timothy must expect that false teachers will do their level best to try and confuse people and lead people away from the truth. But Paul has this conviction that Jesus Christ is building the church, and Paul can call Timothy to follow him as a follower himself of Jesus Christ. So we see here there's something striking about these last words of Paul. Timothy, Paul says, when you follow me in these eight areas. Be ready to follow me, Paul can say to Timothy. Emulate me. So we must have a great concern here at the church. As we yearn for conversions and yearn for people to come to faith in Jesus Christ, people to be saved under the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's not that we want people simply to make an initial response to the gospel. We want people to become rounded, mature disciples, followers of Jesus. Jesus tells the church, go therefore and make disciples. And Jesus' call, his call in the gospel too, is a call to discipleship. And Paul is spelling out here then what that looks like. And he can speak about what it looks like even in his own life. In contrast to the false teachers who would lead Timothy and others astray, Paul says to Timothy, Timothy, you follow and take this model, this example. Emulate and adhere to me and listen to what I have to say. So let's look at what he says to Timothy in verse 10. But you have carefully followed my doctrine. In contrast to the false teachers, you've been following my doctrine, my teaching, Paul says. So keep on doing that. Follow my doctrine, the authoritative teaching of the apostles, the gospel that's been preached. In other words, the disciple of Jesus Christ doesn't rush around and run around after every fad and trend that the false prophets use to tickle people's ears. A true disciple of Jesus Christ will want to be grounded in and to grow in and to mature in an understanding and an application of the Word of God to every part of life. That tonight you don't want gospel light, as it were. You want the real thing. Paul says to Timothy, follow my teaching. Follow the gospel that I preach. And that's what a Christian disciple does. In all the fullness of God's word. We were thinking on Thursday night that Paul can write about the scriptures like this in verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, literally God-breathed. And is profitable for doctrine, what you believe. For reproof, it shows us where we're going astray. For correction, puts us on the right track. For instruction in righteousness, that the man, the woman of God may be complete, perfect, mature. Now that doesn't mean sinless perfection, but it does mean a maturity in faith, that the Christian may be a disciple thoroughly equipped for every good work. So Paul says to Timothy, unlike the false prophets who are leading people away from Jesus Christ, Timothy, you've been following my doctrine, keep going. And as you do so, the Bible will show you what to believe. It will convict you and reprove you. It'll correct you and put on the right path, and it'll instruct you in righteousness. Follow my doctrine. Then Paul can also say to Timothy, follow my manner of life. So first, follow my doctrine. Second, follow my manner of life. You have carefully followed my manner of life. That's quite a striking thing. Imagine you said to someone tonight, perhaps you're an older Christian and there's a new Christian. I wonder if you'd ever think of saying to a young Christian, you follow my manner of life. A disciple follows his or her master. And what the Church of Jesus Christ needs is disciples who will follow the Master Jesus Christ, of course. But we'll see evidence of Christ-likeness in other believers, and that we will push one another on, as it were, exhort one another by life to more Christ-likeness, more growth in grace, more holiness, more righteousness, more patterns of Christ-centered living. And it's a big challenge for a Christian to say to another Christian, live like I live. Isn't that what Paul is saying to Timothy here? You have carefully followed my manner of life. Do as I do. On a Sunday morning and a Sunday evening, do as I do. On the prayer meeting and Bible study night, do as I do. When it comes to praying in the prayer meeting, do as I do. When it comes to serving the Lord, do as I do. When it comes to giving to the work of God, do as I do. You can see what a big challenge this is, because it challenges us to think, well, if somebody did as I do, what sort of example am I giving that person? Would they be growing in righteousness? When it comes to concern for evangelism, do as I do. When it comes to concern about the work of mission, do as what I do. That's what Paul is saying to Timothy. Timothy, you do what I'm doing. Follow my manner of life, Paul says. And perhaps there are many of you who can look back and think, particularly in your early days as a Christian, of other believers who mentored you, not perhaps in an official way, but you looked to them as an example, and you developed a pattern in your life as you followed them. Now, we are living in days of low spiritual expectations. worldliness presses in upon us in every way. Someone asked me this morning about that definition of worldliness that I'd heard about, that worldliness is the pressure of the world to make sin normal and righteousness odd. Well, I think that the reason Derek Thomas spoke about worldliness in that way is because he was describing that part of the Christian life involves going through what is called by John Bunyan Vanity Fair. There's no way around it. We are living in this world, this Vanity Fair. Don't take as your model Vanity Fair. Take as your model, yes, Jesus Christ, but then Christians too who are following Jesus Christ, and you can learn and pattern from them as well. Follow my manner of life. Thirdly, Paul says, follow my purpose. Follow my doctrine. Follow my manner of life. Thirdly, follow my purpose. In Acts 14, the Apostle Paul indicates his purpose. If we were to ask, what's the purpose in Paul's life? Well, we could determine Paul's purpose, because as Paul is preaching the gospel, we read that for his Christian stance and preaching, Paul is persecuted. Acts 14, verse 19. Then Jews from Antioch and Iconium came, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up. Now, what was Paul going to do? He's been so viciously attacked for preaching the gospel. He rose up and went into the city. Next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe, and when they preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. What's Paul's purpose in life? No matter what the opposition is, Paul's purpose is to preach the gospel and strengthen the souls of disciples. He preaches the gospel. He strengthens disciples. He's attacked for it. He's left half dead outside the city. What does he do? He has this purpose. He's not going to be swayed or moved away from it. He preaches the gospel, strengthens the souls of disciples. So that Paul had this holy purpose, this holy determination. He was willing even to lay down his life for that purpose. Listen to what he says about his countrymen. He wanted to see Jewish people converted, and he was ready to lay down his life so that they would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So he said, Lord, if you would save your ancient people, my kinsmen in the flesh, the children of Israel, if you'd bring them savingly to trust in Jesus Christ, I would be willing myself to be damned. If you would just bring them to trust in Jesus Christ, we can have no doubt about what Paul's purpose was in his life. To preach the gospel, to see the souls of disciples strengthened. And so Paul can say to Timothy, Timothy, you follow me now in that purpose. I can see it already in your heart. To preach the gospel and strengthen the souls of disciples. I see it already in your life. You keep going. As I have that purpose and you have that purpose, don't be diverted from it. Make this your great purpose. To preach the gospel, strengthen believers. Now, there are some people you meet and you're not really sure what their purpose in life is. They go this way and that way and the other way. There's this trend and that trend and this fad and that fad and this new thing. And Paul can say to Timothy, you can See, you know what my purpose in life is. We live for this great purpose, to preach the gospel and strengthen believers. We're living in that way for the glory of God. We want to see people converted, come to faith in Jesus Christ. We want to see the church built up, churches built up in the truth and grace of Jesus Christ. Timothy, keep going. And disciples share the purpose of their master. So listen to the Lord Jesus, who said in John 4, verse 34, "My food," he said, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." The Lord Jesus had this heavenly purpose given to him from his Father to accomplish salvation for all his people out of all the nations. So if you're one of Jesus' disciples tonight, your food, your purpose, is going to be the same purpose, the same food as Jesus Christ. Doing God's will. And that's what Paul is saying here to Timothy. Timothy, you embrace. You follow my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose. Have this great purpose. Fourthly, follow my faith. Paul's trust. Again, we have no doubt about this. Paul was a man who had trusted once in himself, trusting in his religion, trusting in his upbringing, trusting in his good works. And then he met with Jesus Christ, and Paul's trust and faith was in Jesus Christ alone. We see the Apostle Paul, a man who lived by faith. He knew that without faith, we cannot please God. Without the Lord, we can do nothing. But all things are possible through him who strengthens us. So Paul's faith was in the Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul lived by faith. And so Paul attempted things that he did not have the capacity to do in his own power. But he did them by faith. He trusted the Lord. Yes, he was saved by faith, but his whole life was lived by faith. And he's saying that to Timothy. Timothy, I've seen something of that in you. You've also trusted in Jesus Christ. You learned what it means to be a Christian from your grandmother and from your mother. You came to trust in Jesus as the Savior, and you're a man now who's living by faith. You keep doing that. A disciple lives by faith. I wonder what it is tonight that God calls you to do as a disciple by faith. That takes you out, as it were, of the comfort zone, out of what you're used to. If you're not a Christian, then you must first come to trust in Jesus Christ as your living Savior. But as a Christian, God calls you then. Attempt great things for God, because we're not just living by our own strength and power and abilities. No, we're trusting in the Lord to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. So Paul can say to Timothy, follow my faith, follow my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith. Fifthly, follow my long suffering. I think Paul here is particularly referring to patience. Timothy had had many opportunities to see the Apostle Paul's patience with people. I think this is an enormously striking thing. If you were to ask, who's one of the most driven men you've ever read about? I've read and met some people with drive in my time, but I would say one of the most driven men we can ever read about is a man like the Apostle Paul. He had this enormous energy and drive. But often people with drive are people who are not very patient with people. In fact, sometimes we acknowledge that someone who's got a lot of drive and determination, but who's not very patient, we can sort of allow for that because of the drive they have. And we think to ourselves, well, Lord, we know there's a few other problems here, but this brother, this sister has such drive. And we can see that holy determination. So we can sort of allow with some of the impatience that comes with that package. But the Apostle Paul here is saying to Timothy, Timothy, you have seen my long suffering. My long suffering, my patience with people. And what is that? That is the proof of an ongoing work of the Holy Spirit. Here's Paul, this man, with enormous energy and drive. He wants to take the gospel as far as he can in all the nations. And at the same time, he's long-suffering. He's patient with struggling Christians. He's patient with those who have yet come to faith in Jesus Christ. He's even patient with people who oppose and persecute him. Listen to what he says in chapter 2 at the end of the chapter about the servant of the Lord. The servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Paul has this holy patience. And so Paul can say to Timothy, as the grace of God is at work in your life then, you're going to meet Timothy with difficult people. You're going to meet people who you'll need to be long-suffering towards. And so, Timothy, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, and you know how I've been long-suffering, Paul can say, you follow me in that long-suffering, Timothy. You be forbearing with the people of God. You know the people of God can be recalcitrant and difficult and awkward sometimes and hard to get along with and disappointing. But Timothy, follow my long-suffering. And as God gives you that grace by the power of the Holy Spirit, follow my long-suffering. Then sixth, follow my love, he says. A true disciple has a concern for other people. Concern for other people and their interests. And again, this is one of the striking things about the Apostle Paul. This man with drive and energy. This man who has long suffering. And yet, joined to that, love. So when you have that great combination, someone who has great concern for the truth of God, and that it is joined to a tangible love for people. When those two things come together, it makes you want to sing and dance, because usually you find it's very hard to get those two things into balance in the Christian life. You get some people, they're so concerned about love, but they lose the balance of the truth of Scripture, and you feel they're not solid, they're shaky about the scriptural truth that needs to balance that love. Or then you get another person who's really concerned about the minutiae of Christian truth, but there's no tangible expression of love that seeks love and the well-being and the good interests of other people. So to have a balance, truth and love together, that's a great thing. And the Apostle Paul says to Timothy, you know about that holy purpose of the truth of the gospel, but also you can follow me, Timothy, in love. The two things going together. An interest for other people, a concern for other people. And Paul is saying what a disciple looks like. A disciple of Jesus Christ is concerned to hold fast to the truth, but also to show practical love. And you get those two things together and in balance with one another. That's a great thing in the Christian life, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. follow my love. Seventh, follow my endurance, he says, or perseverance. Steadfast perseverance when there are trying circumstances. Probably Timothy first met the Apostle Paul after that incident where he had been thrown out of the city in Antioch and left for half dead. So Timothy knew very well about Paul's perseverance. If long-suffering then is about patience with people, then this perseverance he talks about refers to perseverance, patience in circumstances. When you run into trials, when you run into obstacles, when you run into difficulties, when things are not going smoothly, when there are bumps on the road, you keep going. You press on. You persevere despite the circumstances. You look to God for fresh grace. That's what a disciple does. A disciple doesn't say, oh, things are now difficult, I'm going to give up. No, a disciple.